We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, you talk to a guy, you learn stuff too, man. Guys have got really good programs or things they think about in the box and hitting. It's a very knowledgeable setting to talk baseball with superstars, all-stars, MVPs, silver sluggers. Like, to get in those rooms and be able to talk to guys is, one, humbling and a great experience for me, and try to tell them what we're about and what to expect if they decide to become a Chicago Cub.
Is it hard to be in that seat? It's almost like you go look at a new house or something. You're like, I'm excited. I'm going to buy this house. And then that house gets off the market.
Yeah. But then I go to the, you know, the realist and he goes, well, the house wasn't for me. When I'm in these meetings, I'm all in. I'm not selling myself. I'm telling what I'm all about. I'm telling what the Cubs are all about. I'm telling about the great times and experiences that I've had in Chicago and what that's like to win in that place, in our place. And sure, there's a lot of things that are, when I'm in there, I'm thinking, hey, I'm gonna be your manager. We're gonna do this. And then it comes down to dollars, right? That's the stuff that are out of our control. But when you're in those meetings, you're just getting to know them personally. And so when you see a house go off the market, you do have your hopes up, but it's also like, dang it, man, that one wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, let's go on to the next one. There's gonna be another great house that we're gonna make memories in and create relationships and win World Series.
Not a bad analogy from Ryan Dempster. I mean, we're usually the analogy show around here. We've been making White Sox analogies. There's a Cubs one from Demp. Ryan Dempster of the Marquee Sports Network joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's me, Matt Spiegel, and Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago, talking to Ryan Dempster from Marquee out there in San Diego. Demp, paint a picture. Where are you right now? Are you in the sun, you bastard?
I'm sitting outside, just outside the second level of the beautiful Manchester Grand Hyatt, just checking the blue skies out. If I peek over to my right, I can see Coronado and the Navy SEAL training base, and it's just a beautiful sunny day. You know, Speaks, I love when I look at the temperature, you know, and it's like the high is 68 and the low is 62. Like, it just doesn't move a whole lot, you know?
Yeah, you can handle
very
that.
Snow globish.
Yeah, you can exist in that little 6-degree window there.
I can figure it out.
Yeah. That's you and David Ross as part of a panel last night on Marquee. And how soon after that did you and Ross walk over to the hotel bar? Was it 20 minutes? Was it an hour and a half?
It was more like an hour and a half.
Okay.
You know, and then David, he went off and did his manager stuff. And the hubbub around here, you know, when you sit on the second floor and you look down at the hotel bar, it literally sounds like a swarm of bees. There's so much action and people talking and conversations going on and reconnecting, right? Like, these haven't gone on since 2019 because of COVID and then the lockout. And so finally being in person, you forget how many people around the game you know, and you get to reconnect with them. And it's really exhilarating. It's a lot of fun. Not a ton of action so far, some action, but I feel like that might pick up here shortly.
Demp, you painted a perfect picture because I was there in 2019 and I was able to close my eyes and think about that 68, 62 degree difference and exactly where you are at the Manchester Grand Hyatt. So it's well done there. You're doing a great job painting. But to have those conversations with the Cubs being in these meetings, because we just had an entire segment talking about the White Sox not being in those meetings, you can hear the excitement in Rossi's voice there in that panel that you were on. You could hear that he knows that the Cubs are, again, close to getting one of these marquee free agents, pun intended, I guess, in this case, or maybe multiple big-time free agents. What's the excitement like and the excitement level for what's going on or what could be happening on the north side?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, like the days kind of start like a World Cup match, you know, it's like 0-0 until like the end of the game. And there's all this hubbub, but then nothing really happens yet. And then when it starts to happen, it really does get, now you get into the penalty shots, right? It's like, now we're talking excitement. And I think, you know, for David and for, you know, Jed in the front office and for the organization, there's this concerted effort to try and, you know, make the team better. And then it comes down, obviously, you got, like David said, you got dollars. You got guys who are trying to find the best fit for them. But you sometimes, like, much like we saw when John Lester signed here in 2015 and David came with him shortly after the winter meetings, was, you know, then you start to create an ideal for other players where if we sign this guy, now teams start to guys start to show that we're real and we're trying to win. And then you get this dominoes the following year. It's Ben Zobrist, it's Jason Hayward, it's John Lackey, and now you got a championship quality team. So just getting that first big domino to fall, it really starts to kind of open the floodgates. And you know, hopefully that can happen. It also comes down to the player, right? And you always have the quote unquote mystery team that comes in and wants to woo a guy. So you gotta kind of work hard. But they're definitely doing their due diligence, and it is. It's exciting to see that smile on their face and know that at least the possibility's there.
What we know for sure, Demp, is that the Cubs front office historically has been creative, has been aggressive. When they do go after a free agent, sort of the money is obviously a big part of it, but presenting, you know, whether it's a PowerPoint or whether it's a binder of like, this is how we'd use you, this is what we think you need. And that level of attention and care to a free agent matters. Have you heard that that's going on in terms of Xander Bogaerts specifically? Because, I mean, what can you tell us about what you've heard is going on? Who might be involved? You just mentioned John Lester. Our colleague and yours, Bruce Levine, reported that Lester has been involved. What do you know about pursuits of Bogaerts specifically?
I know that a lot of guys have filled out the publisher's clearinghouse thing and said that they will keep that going for him, you know, so he doesn't have to do it. Those kind of inner workings, you know, I think that most teams are very good at that attention to detail. You know, and the Cubs are definitely leaders in that, right? Like whether it's trying to recruit, you know, top ranked free agents or get guys from coming from overseas, whatever it is, to just let them know, using ex players to be able to have videos that, hey, this is what the city's all about. This is what playing for the Cubs is all about, being on the north side, being a part of something special, bringing a championship back to Chicago. So, yeah, like I know, I always see these reports, right? Like report, oh, they met with so-and-so met with so-and-so. Yeah, good teams meet with everybody, or try to at least, you know, meet with them or meet with their agents, especially the high-profile players, getting that personal attachment. You know, it's like anything, like you can be on the phone or you send emails or text messages, but when you meet face-to-face and you can actually, that person can see how much you mean to them and how much you want them, those are the impactful moments more than any kind of, the binders are great. The PowerPoints are great. Do they make a difference? Yes, because they show that you're, you know, you want somebody really bad. But the face-to-face meetings are what it's all about. And really, those are the ones that are the game changers.
I love the idea of Bogaerts. What do you think of him as a fit to be here and give him shortstop? Go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I think, you know, listen, Nico Hoerner is a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. But what's going to happen, and you're going to see, the value of a second baseman with range now is going to be so big, because with no shift on these left-handed hitters, if you can have a guy who can play a little bit deeper, who has the ability to come in on a baseball, go side to side and have a strong enough throwing arm to throw a guy out from short right field, is huge. And Nico Hoerner sliding over to second, when you can have a Gold Glove quality shortstop come in, a premier type player, whether it be Xander or Dansby Swanson or Correa. You know, I really, really love Xander, and I immensely won a World Series with him in 2013. But also, you know, Dansby Swanson, now you're talking a lead up the middle. What happens when you get a lead up the middle? Matty, you know this? Your pitching staff just gets better. There's no coincidence the best pitchers out there, sure, strikeouts are great. But when you have good quality defense playing behind you, now you shore up the pitching staff and make it even better. So you know, adding one of those guys and sliding Nico maybe over to second base would just really, really tighten up the Cubs' defense.
What did you love about Xander in 2013? Here we are 9 years later, and the Red Sox are afraid to lose him because of his personality.
Yeah, leader in the sense of wants to win, right? Like, so the kind of guy whose ego doesn't get in the way of what the team's trying to do. When he came up, he was a young guy. He carried himself so well. You know, get on the plane ride and, hey, Bogey, go grab me a beer. There's no like, oh, I got to go. It's like, yeah, no problem. Come back to the seat and somebody else says, oh, you forgot to get me one. Yeah, no problem. I'm here to do whatever. And I know that's a simple, small little thing, but from a team perspective, you're like, this guy's on board right away. He wants to be a part of something special. And then you watch his performance on the field, the at-bats that he had in big situations in the World Series as a young guy, you know, taking tough pitches for walks in big situations in St. Louis, and the way he played defense, you know, his desire to absorb information and get better, you know, having Dustin Pedroia teach him never take a pitch off, never relax out there, always be prepared. John McDonald, an unbelievable infielder who came over to us, you know, sitting down with Xander at shortstop and like talking to him about positioning. And, you know, he was always engaged and always trying to get better in every aspect of the game, base running, defense, hitting, you know, and then what he's done now as he's matured and see him as the leader he is. Guys, he's a special player, and it's, you know, if we're lucky enough to land him in Chicago, that would be really, really great.
You discussed the PowerPoints and the binders, and I go back to when John signed here with the Cubs, and obviously he had the relationship with Theo and Jed already, but so much was made about what was coming back then for the Cubs, the KBs, the Rizzes, the Russells, the Contreras, all of those guys, the stacked farm system. But when you look at 2023, how much is being talked about what this Cubs team has for the free agents to be? Because, look, there was a lot to like about the Cubs in the second half. And down the stretch, quite frankly, they were 16-6. So you mentioned Nico Hoerner. There's other things. You know, Ian Happ had an all-star performance and a gold glove. What do the Cubs have to sell that's already here on the north side where a Xander Bogaerts and a Dansby Swanson, other than money? I mean, we all know, Demp, you've been a free agent. Money at the end of the day rules, but we just saw Trey Turner turn down 342 guaranteed to take the Phillies offer of $300 million. So it's just not all the time about money.
No, and especially like free agents, top free agents, most of them, especially when you're talking about the guys that we're talking about, they're accustomed to winning, so they want to win. Losing sucks. No matter how, there's nothing worse than making a bunch of money and losing. It's not fun at all. So winning is really important. I think one of the big things that the Cubs have for the first time in quite a while, and there's more coming, is pitching. And, you know, some of those guys that were throwing out of the bullpen, some, you know, guys like Wisniewski and Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele, you know, the future of that is really great. Now, those guys have to go out there and continue to improve, continue to get better, and take their, you know, their status of a 4 or 5 starter and turn it into a 1, 2, or 3. And that's on them and, you know, and the coaching staff and stuff like that. But I think knowing you have those guys, young players like Crow Armstrong down the road, you know, can Mash Mervis do it again? You know, you have young players, but I think having the pitching for the first time in really like a long time that I remember with the depth and the guys even in the minor leagues and more guys that now all of a sudden you've got quality arms that can come up there, and because pitching wins. At the end of the day, you know, the Houston Astros took down the hottest offense in baseball with what? Great starting pitching and lights out bullpen. So, you know, those are the kind of things I think down the stretch. You mentioned the 16-6, but 39-31 after the All-Star break, yep. And that was it wasn't offense. I mean, that was pitching and defense, and I think that's what they can sell.
So the Astros, I believe every guy on the Astros threw 99. If I saw it correctly, or maybe
a couple guys threw 100.
Oh yeah, my bad. Whoops. My bad. I missed that. Like
noting that.
What are they doing? What are they doing? What are teams doing to like make that happen? And are the Cubs in on it in like creating velocity from people who didn't ordinarily have velocity? I really don't understand the science of it right now, Demp.
Yeah, well, there's the training methods are so much different, you know, from when I was coming up and you know, now with drive lines and guys in the off season really focusing on increasing velocity through weighted baseballs and, you know, pitch labs and how am I spinning the ball off my hand and individualizing it, right? Like before it used to be, this is what you do. You throw your fastball like this and everybody does that. And some guys throw hard with it, some guys don't. And now it's like, wait a second, why don't you put it on your fingertips a little bit more? Why don't you hold the ball a little deeper in your hand? Why don't you hold it on two seams instead of four seams? And individualizing each guy so that you get the maximum amount you can out of them. So now you take that, Maddie, like you're saying, and guys are throwing hard. Great. Now can you throw hard and throw strikes? Because if I know you can do that, wow, now we're starting to – that's what the Astros did. I mean, those guys didn't walk anybody. They come in, they throw strikes, and they do it at high velocity with plus breaking pitches. You know, it's just the evolution of pitching, and it's tough to hit in the league. And when you can do that, you can miss a lot of bats.
Depp, we've heard the reports about Tom saying that the checkbook is open. So let's just be hypothetical here and say that in the coming days or even the coming month that the Cubs do land a Bogarts and a Swanson. At that point, we could all dream. At that point, do you go outside the box and spend even more? And you talked about pitching. We all know pitching wins and pitching rules. If you were to land something like that, do you go out and say, now let's try to add an arm and pump up this staff? Because you're not – look, let's be honest. You're not adding $350 million worth of free agent shortstops and not trying to contend in 2023.
Yeah, no, well, for sure. And, like, maybe that's going out there and, like, adding a starting pitcher like Taillon or finding a trade. So, like, now you add players to your position player staff on long-term contracts. Well, now you have guys in the minor leagues that you maybe were plugging or projecting at some point to get there. Those become trade pieces, and those become abilities to be able to go get a starting pitcher from somebody. You know, maybe you can pry, you know, somebody away from a team looking to, you know, kind of rebuild a little bit. So, yeah, I think if you it's all subjective, right? So the more you add, then the more you start to get closer to what you believe is your winning window, and then the more aggressive you can be. If you go out and get one guy, then it's like, well, you know, maybe we're playing much like John, right? So John signs in 2015, the Cubs got competitive, beat the Cardinals. Now it's like, okay, go get Zobrist, go get Lackey, go get Hayward. So that it becomes like it's a process. You can't just fix it all overnight, and you can't buy World Series championships. You know why you can't buy? And I know this for a fact. The only free agent contract, not extension, the only free agent contract in the history of the game over $200 million that has resulted in a World Series title is Max Scherzer with the Washington Nationals. These teams throw $300 million at players. It doesn't guarantee anything. It guarantees you got a good player in the team. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to win a World Series. So, you know, just to throw money at it, you got to be smart, you got to be strategic, and you got to trust in your plan and put that plan in place.
Are players into the idea of the short term and the high annual average value? Because Jed would be. You know, like, and the Mets did it with Verlander, but he's 85 years old. He's going to get paid until he's 87, and good for him. But it's like, yeah. I mean, our players are like, would Bogarts and Swanson, would these guys be into it, or is everybody looking for what Trey Turner got, which is 11 freaking years?
Yeah, well, I think guys want that, right? You want security, you want to know where you're going to be, and you want a lot of money. I think the older guys, because teams don't want to go long-term, that's where you see the higher average than annual value. The problem is like, much like we're seeing with Carlos Correa, right? He signs a 3-year deal with an opt-out after year one, and his AAV is $35.1 million. Do you think he wants a pay cut? He's making $35 million. So now when he's a free agent, that's his starting point. That's what I made last year. I deserve to make what I made last year. So you got to be careful when you start throwing out these big numbers, like, oh, sign Aaron Judge to $50 million a year for 5 years. Okay, then what? He rakes for 5 years, and now his base is $50 million. That becomes a very dangerous, slippery slope. So I see it with older, and I understand it with older because you don't want to go long term. But I think with younger players, they want that security. They want to know where they're going to be and take care of themselves for a long time.
Who do you like out there, man? You like Taillon? You like Eovaldi?
Yeah, I like Jameson Taillon.
You like Severino? You like Bassett? Like, if I threw all the – if Chris Bassett – Severino, Taillon, of those three, who do you like?
I like Taillon a lot, and I think, you know, New York's a tough place to pitch sometimes, just for multiple different reasons. Tough division, tough ballpark, tough, you know, place, media-wise, all those kind of things. Not that Chicago can be any easier, but, you know, I like Taijuan Walker. You know, I think he's got, you know, some serious upside, and I think that he could really help. So, I think both of those guys are good. You know, Bassett wants 4 years. I don't know. That's you know, possibility. He's a little bit older. But, you know, I think that Taillon to me is the guy that I like a lot. I just love his stuff. I like the way he competes. I think, you know, there's ace material in there. Anytime he takes the mound, he has the capability to go ahead and shut down any lineup.
All right, I'm going to take it one step further, and I'm also going to take the Cubs out of the equation. I'm making Ryan Dempster a billionaire owner, so you have the entire cupboard here to pick from of the available free agents that have yet to sign. Who, knowing about makeup and talent and everything that goes into it, you could sign one of these guys to a contract. Who are you picking?
Wow. Huh. Wow. I want to lean towards Judge just because it's so dynamic and mm-hmm. it's unreal stuff. But, you know, I have concerns there just injury-wise. There's been injuries in the past. But I think if I could sign one guy, I want a shortstop. I want a guy that's up the middle. I'm probably going Xander Bogaerts with Dansby Swanson a close second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like the youth of Swanson. I like the speed of Swanson. I like his progression and where he's been, and he's a leader. Those guys down in Atlanta loved him.
So sell me on Swanson, because I'm all in on Bogaerts. I love the way he rakes. I love the makeup, and I know that the defense is a concern. But sell me on Swanson. I'm telling you, for a lot of Cub fans, it would feel like when the Bulls could have gotten LeBron or Chris Bosh, and they got Carlos Boozer instead. And I know it's not fair. It's not fair, but that's how it's going to feel. So tell people about Swanson.
Yeah, and I think that it is not fair because I think size automatically scares people away, right? He's not the stature of Correa. He's not as big as Bogaerts, but he's still growing into his own. And this guy, you're talking stud at Vanderbilt, winner. Number one overall draft pick, goes to the Braves, winner. Leader in that clubhouse. Does all the right things on the baseball field as far as playing the game. When it comes to playing defense, he's elite. He's gold glove. When it comes to running the bases, he's a guy that I think, you know, should he get hot with some power, he could potentially be your 30-30 guy, you know, but at least 20-20 on a regular basis with a lot more stolen bases, especially with the new rules and the bigger bases, he can steal a lot. And I think, you know, I think he's only going to get better, and he's already been getting better. I think he's just – he's a bona fide baseball player that does everything really, really good. Really, everything really, really good. Mm. And to me, you know, there's not really a weakness. I think maybe, you know, he doesn't really have a weakness. I think that he's maybe not great at some things, but he's really, really good at all things.
All right, Ryan, here's what I expect. Tonight, and this has been great stuff, so thank you. So tonight, when Jed Hoyer and Brian Cashman are looking for a cocktail napkin to write a trade down on a coffee table, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to reach for the cocktail napkin, have a pen. You think a Sharpie or a felt tip? What's best for the cocktail napkin? You would know more.
Ooh,
a pen. A Sharpie runs too much. Yeah, you get smudged. Next thing you know, you're getting the wrong player. It's a bad option. You gotta go. You go ballpoint pen, and then you write it in blue too. Because a lot of times the cocktail napkins have black writing, and then the next thing you know, you're trading for a Grand Hyatt. You didn't mean to get that, you know?
Yeah, veteran move here.
It's strong.
I think maybe Ryan should be drawing up the trade, actually, quite frankly.
Cashman wakes up and goes, I gave a Giancarlo Stanton for Justin Steele. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. But, I don't know if I'd do that one, actually, myself. Ryan, enjoy yourself. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dan.
You.
Hey, you got it, guys.
All right, we'll see you.
Anytime.
That's Ryan Dempster right there from the Marquee Sports Network.
That's fun.
You need the felt tip. The felt tip for the cocktail.
I would
napkin.
Agree. The run would concern me.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. Opening the phone lines to talk to you, the Cub fans. The learned Cubs cynicism for decades that some of you have. I want to gauge where you are on the cynicism front in this moment. And what is it going to take for that to change? And if nothing's going to change it, I'm interested. If missing out on Trey Turner is the end. If not being in on Aaron Judge is the end. We're interested. Let's find it out. If you're cynical about what the Cubs are doing, reach out, because we don't want to talk in an echo chamber. You know, I want to hear from you people. So 312-644-6767. What would change your Cubs cynicism if indeed you are sitting in it? Get in on Parkins and Spiegel. It's Spiegs and Ryan McGuffey on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, certainly we have a lot of offers out there, and we'll continue to make offers. Like, whether things come to fruition or not, you never quite know, but it won't be through sort of lack of putting offers out there and trying. But you never know. I mean, getting deals done is complicated, obviously, but we'll certainly try.
Jed Hoyer talking about trying to get deals done. The report came earlier today, I guess last night, from NBC Sports Chicago, where Ryan McGuffey works. Tell people what the report was from your guy, the bald-headed wonder.
Yeah, David Kaplan reported late last night, that owner Tom Ricketts, right before leaving for San Diego, pulled in Jed Hoyer and said, you know, let's scrap this plan. And green light for spending.
Go, man, go.
Green light for spending. If you think that there's a player or two or three or whatever you might think that could help our team win now, I want to win.
Does that dovetails with the reports about, I think John Heyman said Cubs are tops for Swanson. We've heard good things about Bogarts, and we've started to see crazy reports of the both of them. Bogarts for shortstop, and Swanson for third, vice versa.
And reading some of these reports, Russ Dorsey from Bally Sports kind of doubled down on that earlier today on MLB Network on Cap's report. So, where there's smoke, it's not always fire, but in this case with the hot stove, and at least what I enjoy about the winter meetings, Spiegs.
Yeah.
This is what I like. This is the winter meetings I want. I want the biggest names being available and signing. Like, I thought Sunday when the Rangers signed DeGrom Friday when the Rangers? It was before, going into the weekend maybe. I think it was DeGrom on Friday night.
Saturday morning I woke up to the DeGrom headline.
I loved everything about it because I'm like, boom. Biggest fish in the starting pitching pond.
You forgot
one
to
of
add
them.
The steak dinner to the front of that boom.
I did. And I love setting the tone going into the winter meetings, and that teams, these guys are available, why wait till January? Why wait? If you want Trey Turner, give him 11 for 300. Let's get these things done, because this is what baseball needs, this excitement for fan bases.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're a Cubs fan going into the holiday season and the Cubs pluck two of the biggest names on the free agent board.
Sure.
Xander, look, I'm raising my eyebrows after talking to Demp and hearing that clip of Rossi last night on Marquee. I'm a little bit shaking my head here because we did a podcast at the beginning of November, and I told you this off air, but I think it's worth bringing up. And it was kind of like a way too early predictions podcast. And at the end of it, Chuck asked for a bold prediction right now. And my bold prediction, and I knew this was going to upset some of the White Sox fan base and probably White Sox Twitter, was that the Cubs would have more wins than the White Sox.
Ooh.
And if they sign Bogarts and Swanson, or at least one of them, if they sign them both, are they the betting favorite in Vegas for an over total for more wins between the Cubs and Sox?
I think if they just sign one of them and Taillon, if they sign Bogarts and Taillon and Mancini, like, I don't even think you need both of them to be a flashy over the way that some of the kids are improving, the way that some of the pitching has improved.
Yeah.
You know, especially because maybe Drew Smyly comes back as well. Like, I think there'll be a couple starting pitcher signings, along with a first baseman like Mancini, along with a shortstop of consequence. And then maybe a center fielder, maybe they convince Kevin Kiermaier to do 1 year instead of 2 years. I know they're in on Bellinger, but a lot of teams are. Like, if it's like four different guys, I don't think you need both Bogarts and Swanson to be a lockdown over.
depending on what the number is going to be.
I know. Listen to you.
My God, the White Sox have lost Ryan McGuffey.
That's tough. It took a long time.
Tough times, man.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Unreal. We asked for phone callers about the Cubs and what they would need to do to shake some cynicism that is deep within you, because I have seen it out there. Dave in Grand Rapids, you're first up on the score. It's Speaks of McGuffey on Parkins and Spiegel. What would it take for the for your Cubs cynicism to go away?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
The appetite has been whetted since 16. I'm tired of paying top dollar tickets the last couple of years for a 4A team. So I want to go to the buffet, and I want to try a little bit of everything. How about we go position player, like a combination of Swanson and Drury. Drury can kind of can work opposite Wisdom, first base, third base, DH, whatever, and then dip in the starting pitcher pool and go Tyon and Bassett. Tom can shell out like $400 to $500 million, and we can be where we ought to be payroll wise.
Just a cool 4 or 5.
Hey man, teams do it. Teams do it. What did Texas do last year? How much did Texas spend?
$500 million.
Simeon and Seager.
$500 million.
Two infielders, a total of $500 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they stunk, and now they're back at it. They just signed Andrew Haney, by the way, during the break.
Yeah. Like, so, Rodon, you want 6 years? Ah, we'll go give Haney 4.
Yeah.
They've filled an entire rotation in the last, like, week and a half.
Jake Odorizzi, they traded for. Then they got DeGrom, and now they got Andrew Haney. All right, so that's all that the caller wants.
You know what, though?
But he wants position player, two different pitchers, and he said Brandon Drury also, like two position players.
But you know what motivated him? Winning. Not envy. Winning. Because he had a taste. And early, he had a taste in 16. And NLCS followed that, right? Three NLCSs in a row and a World Series. That's why, like, if we're talking about rebuilds, don't tell me the cup how it ended sucked, right? Like, that's not, like, fans weren't promise necessarily that those guys were going to come and go, but they did get 3 straight NLCS bursts and a World Series. What is the White Sox rebuild going to look like? How is it going to end? The story is still being told. Do you feel comfortable?
What's the peak of it? Back-to-back playoff years where you lose in the first
round? Rick even alluded to that. That shouldn't be. He did a Bally Sports piece with Russ Dorsey saying we need to stop talking about that we've gone to the playoffs from back-to-back seasons for the first time. No one cares. No one cares. You know, like, I had a buddy text after Jose Abreu. Like, I understand the fan part of, like, the Jose Abreu sting, but they had 30 years of Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, and Jose Abreu. You know how many playoff appearances they went to, Spiegs? Six.
Six.
Okay. One of them ended after the first round. Like, 5 of the 6 appearances ended in the first round. The other one was 2005.
Mike, wait, so that's the entirety of the first base run? Is that what you said?
For Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, 31 years. There was one Greg Norton did is the trivia answer there. But 31 seasons of Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, and Jose Abreu had 6 postseason appearances. Probably the 3 greatest hitters in the franchise history, right?
And 5 of them were one and done.
5 of them were one and done.
Oh, man. That's brutal. Your White Sox sadness is vast, and it's distracting from a Cubs topic.
You know, it's the holiday season. It should be joyous.
But happy holidays. Roberto's in Massachusetts and is now on the score. What do you say, Roberto? How are you?
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I got Cabrera and Judge. That's what I want. That's not just a statement. That's like we're going to dominate. Because that's what the Cubs are, man. The Cubs are
Correa.
A big team.
Correa.
Carlos Correa.
So $800 million.
Correa,
okay, right. We're at $800 million.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. The Cubs are a huge team, right? They got the fans. They got the brand. It's Chicago. Let's make it happen. That's it.
Look,
they'll come.
That's what I. You know what? That's how fans should feel. Give me who are the top guys? Who are we shopping for? Who are we shopping for? You want the best, right?
Yeah. You don't think fans are capable of looking at if I told you that Correa was 10 for $320. Okay, 10 years for $320, and I told you that Bogarts was gonna be 6 for 180.
Okay,
I do Bogarts over Correa 10 times out of 10 to buy myself 4 years of flexibility on the back end. 10 times out of 10,
I'll sign Swanson and Bogarts for the cost of Carlos Correa.
Absolutely.
Okay, me too.
100%.
Because it makes my team better like that.
It makes my team better right
two
away.
Two spots in my team.
And gives me a shorter term.
Yes.
If I can do 5 years for Bogaerts, 5 years for Swanson, or six and six.
Why is the term of deal, because everyone got chapped by Jason Hayward's 8 years? Is that the problem? Like, why does the term matter?
No. The term matters so you can reload and do it again. So you don't lock yourself in and you're dealing with this stuff.
How's
you don't think Hayward's last 3 years were a big factor in why they chose to backslide? Hayward's money was a factor in the Yu Darvish trade.
Give the term to the right guy then. Someone failed in identifying Jason Hayward as an 8-year, $184 million contract.
Yes, they did.
Okay, that doesn't mean going forward that you shouldn't sign 8-year contracts. But the problem in this town has been that. Well, we got burned in 1997. We got burned in 2015 or 16, so we can't do it again. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Phillies are signing Bryce Harper to 13 years and backing it up by saying, we don't give a damn. We'll just give 11 to Trea Turner.
Yeah.
And where were they? They're coming off of NL championship.
Last call, Lewis in Midway at 670 The Score. Lewis, what's happening? How are you?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Great. Good.
I love the show. Long-time listener. You know what? I'm done being loyal. No, let me rephrase that. I'm not done because I'm going to be a Cubs fan today. I die. I'm not as confident as the show was. It is. It's true, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you put all this effort on a day-in, day-in basis, and you watch these games. I'm a season holder. I'm wasting all this money. I've gotten tanked a few times in that field, right? I wasted good money on that. I wasted good money with them. So now it's very important for them to come out and say, you know what? We love you. Here's Judge. I got to go there. Right? I got to go. Like, if you get Judge, then you got me for another some odd years, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll get tanked again. You'll get tanked again,
right?
Over there.
I take more.
I know.
Maybe we'll be more happy. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
You know, you got to show some loyalty to your guys. You got to show your loyalty to your fans. Because if that loyalty doesn't come out, then you're going to start losing. But, you know, we already got that stigma of that's the biggest bar in the world, you know? And we just go there to have fun. And that's not reality. When I go to the games, I'm yelling at players. You know? I'm yelling at the opposing players. And, you know, sometimes they tell me, shut up. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it is what it is.
I think I sat near you, Lewis. Go ahead.
You probably were tanked with me then.
Maybe, but depending.
It's a good time. It is a good time going to a Cubs game. You know, I got four season tickets. I take my boys and you know, the Hayworth thing, I'll take that contract. You know why? Because he gave that speech at the end of the that game and got us over the hump. And we got
he's loose. He's, you know, loose. Guys, like, he's feeling it.
Guys like me, Hollywood, that speech, you know, like the Rain Men, like that whole Rain Men documentary I did, I had to have Jason Hayward in it just to talk about the speech.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's your
damn
fault.
Damn good speech.
Yeah, you did that. I love the first 4 seconds of his call. That they don't.
I'm
got
not
me.
Loyal. I'm not loyal.
Wait a minute.
I'm
yes, loyal. I am. Yes, I am. They got me till the day I die. Anyway. 670 The Score. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show. This has been an enjoyable baseball explosion of conversation. Justin Fields and Bears stuff at the top of the hour. When we come back, though, there's quarterback movement in the west of the NFL that's really interesting. Want to discuss it with you, McGuffey, right here on 670 The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Mango.
Afternoons on The Score.
What an unbelievable slate of NFL games we had, and it included last night, crazy late rally by Tampa Bay to beat New Orleans by a point. And, you know, as the Bears head into a bye, the NFL is full of intrigue for playoff positioning and some weird stuff going on. We have some quarterback developments out west, Ryan McGuffey. The 49ers did not make a waiver claim for Baker Mayfield after Kyle Shanahan said he would be, quote, surprised if John Lynch and the front office made a waiver claim. They didn't make one, but it wouldn't have got to them anyway because the waivers, just like baseball works, where like the worst team goes first. The Rams made the waiver claim, so they'll pay, what, $1.4 million, something like that, for the rest of the year, and Baker Mayfield gets to go work with Sean McVay for the final 5 weeks of the season.
And they blocked the 49ers. I mean, I just like the idea of, like, no matter what, if the 49ers put a claim in, that they block the idea of the 49ers getting Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but But the 49ers are sticking with Mr. Irrelevant, the final pick in the draft. And then we get this news about Jimmy Garoppolo, is that Garoppolo does not need surgery, and it's not a Liz Frank injury. And good old Liz, you know, it must be nice for Liz Frank and her whole family to get the name dropped as much as it does, especially in regards to foot injuries. I mean, that's most of the time that I hear it, Liz Frank.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Garoppolo doesn't need surgery. He'll be back in 7 or 8 weeks, which means, especially if they get a bye somehow,
they're dangerous.
He could play in the playoffs.
I know, and they're dangerous. They are as dangerous as a. I mean, who? Let's assume Garoppolo's healthy. Do you like San Francisco or Minnesota more?
Oh my God, Minnesota! Danny had the stat yesterday. Their point differential is 10.
That's insane.
They're 10-2 with a point differential of 10.
I do like that. They know how to win one like close games late like that. But Kirk Cousins all day long. The other thing on Baker Mayfield, did you see they have a Thursday night game this week, and they said he could play.
He could play immediately.
That they're sending him the playbook so he can start studying the offense on the plane to L.A.
Wow. That's a lot to ask for Baker Mayfield. That's a lot to ask, but they suck.
They are horrible.
I mean, they were in that one with Seattle.
Are they the worst post Super Bowl winning team? I know the injury. I mean, obviously injuries.
I don't think no Super Bowl team has ever had the losing streak that they have just had.
And I think
it's six in a row.
And I want to say that no Super Bowl winning team has had the fewest points per game that they currently have this season, which is like 16-6 or something like that.
Wow. No, that's crazy. No, Minnesota is not
fraud.
They absolutely feel like a fraud in terms of being 10-2.
You know why they're a fraud? The Dallas game. I knew that was like that was a bettor's dream. Like I'm like, oh my God, -1.5. Give me Dallas all day long after the emotional win in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have won, mm-hmm. But great to see them win on the road in Buffalo. You knew they were due for a letdown. 40-3. Come on.
Yeah.
That's fraud to me. That screams fraudulent right
well,
there.
Well, Dallas is a ridiculous thing right now.
Yeah.
Dallas, to put up 54 on Sunday night, they've scored.
Jeff Saturday contributed to that.
Yeah, he did. But that skill position batch that Dallas has now fully healthy, Zeke Elliott as like a power back and really a change of pace to the speed of Pollard now, Gallup now healthy as a big body red zone target to go along with CeeDee Lamb as a game breaker.
God, he's good.
And tight ends as well.
And as long as you have 10 players to play with Micah Parsons, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right.
Like that guy is so damn good.
So, I mean, it's only Dak that concerns me. Otherwise, yeah. I'm pretty close to picking Dallas to run through the NFC.
How do you feel about Philly?
Philly's impressive as hell. Those are the two best teams.
They're the great unknown, but what I love about Philly is in the trenches. I mean, they arguably have the best
O-line and D-line.
I know, and that's going to be tough. And the playoffs, that's, you know, talk about pitching in baseball. Who the battle of the trenches?
Stop talking baseball, man.
God, I can't
this
stop.
This guy, McGuffey, all he wants to do is talk
Listen
baseball.
To me spitting football
freaking
stats
annoying.
Football. All the people
right?
who think I don't know anything about else.
Jeez, I'm you're bringing here. It back to baseball. Yeah.
What'd you say about Rick Hahn?
go back to your closet.
But hey, what we learned today that somebody named Shane is who he's very close with. Of course, it's Joe Shane, the general manager of the New York Giants.
In the playoff hunt, big game. Speaking of big games, Philadelphia at the Giants after a big tie.
Uh-huh.
Big tie against Commanders.
But yeah. It's disconcerting when you start talking about how close you are with Shane,
yeah.
And you mean Joe Shane and not
played
you
football
Shane.
In college with Joe Shane. So, see, not just a baseball guy.
Yeah.
People can't
how about that?
Be close to me or, like, what's going on here? What
you, I didn't know if Ryan
I don't
was.
Have people close
you know what
to
mean?
Me.
You know,
well, when you say it's disconcerting that you say you're close to Shane,
yeah.
Like that seems like it applies to other people.
Right,
too.
No, that's fair.
Difference
that's fair.
Spell. Difference
we'll talk about that soon over a coffee, something like that. 670, the score is where you are. It's Parkins and Spiegel right here on the score, except he's Ryan McGuffey. He's not Danny Parkins. What damage has a 3-10 record done to the Bears locker room vibes? Let's check in next on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.